This Sunday, our text is coming from Genesis, the 37th chapter. Go back to the book of beginnings. We go back to the source of the problem. We go back to the early times where God is present in people's life. He moves over them. He speaks to them through bushes. An angel appears to them. It's a very dramatic work that occurs in the book of Genesis. And as we go to Genesis, the 37th chapter, we're introduced to some family drama. If you're a student of the Bible, and you are, you dedicate yourself to coming to church and Sunday school and studying the scriptures, one of the things that you have to be honest about, maybe you've never put it to your mind, in the forefront of your mind, is that the people and the families that are in the Bible are messed up. They have big problems. In fact, every single patriarch that we're introduced to is the person that God spoke to and revealed himself to and made a covenant with. They got problems. Intense problems. You're talking about dysfunctional. The line of Abraham is dysfunctional. He was dysfunctional in his relationship with Sarah. He's dysfunctional in his relationship between Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac does the same thing with Jacob and Esau. Then when Jacob goes out and establishes his family, it's dysfunctional too. You know, that's one of the biggest fallacies that the general public has about the church looking from the outside to the inside is that we're saying we have no problems, that we do family right. We don't have any issues. We're the picture-perfect family, mom and dad and children, grandchildren, all coming to church and praising the Lord. We ain't got no problems. That's not reality. It wasn't the reality in Scripture. And so one of the things we have to do is to get real. And we're visiting a very dark situation in the life of Joseph, who, by the way, is one of the few individuals that we're introduced to in Scripture where there's no real big character flaw. Him and Daniel, that is at the forefront. But just to make sure that we understand that it's not a matter he was raised in a perfect family, you're given some insight into who his family was. And it was dysfunctional. That's the word that you should walk away from after seeing this text. Man, that is messed up. Genesis, the 37th chapter. We're going to read just a few verses. We're going to count on your knowing the story. I will bring to you some of the highlights of what's going on. But I wanted you to see this text, just how straightforward and dramatic it is. Now, when they saw him afar off, that's Joseph's brothers, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him. Cast him into some pit. We shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." That's hateful. That's your own flesh and blood. That's your brother. And they're looking to kill him. This is the family that's supposed to be the example of what it means to follow Jehovah. And this is what's going on, unbeknownst to Jacob. Dysfunction. The disintegration of a family that has experienced a lot of hurt. Remember, there's Jacob and Esau. There had been a stealing of the birthright. He was his mother's favorite child. Esau was his father's favorite child. That's dysfunction. When a parent has affection for one child over another. This competition, so much so that the mother lies, puts together this conspiracy to get the birthright. What a terrible situation. But they had learned it from their grandparents, their parents, learned this kind of craziness. And you would think these things we would learn by how our parents raised us or what we experienced in our home life. No, we just go out and duplicate it. Now, don't say I'm a psychiatrist. I'm not saying I'm a psychiatrist. I'm telling you what happened. I'm reporting to you. You're reading about it. Inside churches, there's a lot of dysfunction. There are skeletons in the closet. A lot of deep pain. A lot of rivalry. Unfairness. Injustice. Disappointment. Well, we present well. We don't talk about it. Try not to appear bitter. But we came from messed up lives. The result of divorce, lack of communication. I've dealt with individuals in church life who said their parents never told them they loved them. May have actually said things to them that demeaned them. Of rivalry among siblings, siblings they can't talk to as adults. Self-consumed parents that are never there, never available. Stories of addiction and alcoholism. Stories of child abuse, sexual abuse, spousal abuse, extramarital affairs, pornography. Must I go on? This is inside the church. People that go to church. It's a secret. Don't want anybody to know what you came from. There's a passage of scripture in Numbers. We often wonder what it means. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy. Numbers the 14th chapter, verse 18. Forgiving iniquity and transgression. But look what it says. But he by no means clears the guilty. Then notice what it says next, this phrase that reminds us that here on this earth, sin does damage, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children. Notice how far it goes, to the third and the fourth generation. Meaning messed up lives, family situations, church situations have a tendency to be a part of the story. It's not a perfect world. Just because you are a Christian family does not mean you don't carry some baggage. Some hurts, some disappointments. If you remember in the situation that took place in Joseph's life, he was his father's favorite son. So much so that he gave him a special gift, a coat of many colors. And this just fed the rivalry among his older brothers. And in Hebrew society, being the oldest child comes with special privileges, not the youngest child. The oldest child, as you go up the step ladder, is supposed to endear you to your parents to a greater degree. The blessings pour out to a greater degree. But here, Jacob has an affection for Joseph. You know why? Because he was the child of his favorite wife. Whoa. We don't have those kind of problems. We don't do polygamy. But we do blended families. Why is this in the Bible? Why is this dirty laundry present? What can we take from it that's supposed to increase and enhance our understanding of what God wants for us? I mean, the Bible's true. It doesn't hide these stories. It makes it a part of the storyline. In church, we're not here to celebrate our goodness and our well-functioning families. We're here with the gospel. Joseph is proof that you can survive, that you can prosper, even if you're raised in a home full of anger, jealousy, and deceitful people. That's why his story's here. Joseph does something great and tremendous that impacts not only his family, but the covenant people of Israel, the covenant of Abraham. He impacts society at large in the Egyptian Empire. And he's from a terrible situation. His brothers wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit. The only thing that stopped them from killing him was a slave trader came along and they saw a chance to make a little bit of profit. They sold him into slavery. Boy, that's love. Went home, told Dad that a wild animal killed your favorite son. Even put some blood, killed an animal, and put blood on the coat of many colors so they could offer evidence and have DNA tests back in those days. And they hid this lie for years, at least a couple of decades. Joseph's story doesn't start there. Ends up in prison. I'll save you all the storyline there. He ends up in prison not once, but twice. Ends up spending, he's accused of something he didn't do. He ends up in prison for 18 years, and he didn't do what he was charged with. I don't know about you. Joseph should be pretty mad, angry, suffering from PTSD, non-trusting, angry individual. But he's not. Joseph's proof that you can survive, you can prosper, even if you're raised in a home full of anger, jealousy, and deceitful people. He had imperfect parents. How do I mean he had imperfect parents? Well, he had three stepmothers. Not one, three. He had 10 stepbrothers. He had a stepsister. They're all in the house. And this was not just a bad day in the life of this family. They had a case where their daughter of the family, the one female, she's raped. Jacob didn't do anything about it. He's a passive parent. One that showed favoritism. Reuben took his concubine, his own son, and he did nothing. This is one of the patriarchs. Whenever you talk about the patriarchs, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the family that he heads. Produces a son. What probability would you give Joseph of being instrumental in the kingdom of God? Useful. Almost nothing. Look at the family he came from. Look at how damaged he is. Jacob's wives, they were all unhappy, all four of them. Joseph's brothers are imperfect. We saw proof of that in what we read. They hated him. It's a blended family nightmare. Now, Joseph is imperfect too. He's naive and he's arrogant. Why do you say that? Well, he had a dream where the Lord revealed to him that his brothers were going to bow down and worship him. Now, he can't help what the Lord revealed to him. That message was for him. But he couldn't wait to go tell his brothers. That's what led up to the scene that we just read about. Hey, I just had a dream. All you guys are going to bow down and worship me. That's pretty arrogant. But look what he came from. He had to do something to survive. They were all against him because they knew he was the child of their daddy's favorite wife. But he survived. So what's the next thing we could pull from this text that we need to understand? Joseph is chosen by God. He's anointed by God. His destiny is given by God. And he's still in the pit of betrayal. He's perfectly in God's will, but he's perfectly placed in this situation to experience these injustices, this crucible, if you will, to develop his character. He's still in the pit of betrayal, but God was with him. Children of God have pit experiences. It's by God's design. It's for the benefit of the church. If we are effective in bringing people in from outside of this church into this church to experience our ministry, they need to understand we are from a messed up background as well. Maybe currently living in some dysfunction. They don't need to come join a church where everybody's got it together. They need to come to a church where they say, chosen by God, anointed by God, my destiny's given by God. And while I'm here in this pit, God is always with me. You know, in Beaufort County, the assistant DA, he was here for Maynard's funeral, Jonathan Jones. He cannot do it because of his position, but he placed a prayer ministry group that a couple times a week sets up a booth just outside of the courthouse. As people are coming to go to court, they have somebody that will meet and pray with them. Oftentimes, the people that are coming there are Christians. They'd rather nobody knew that they're in court that day, because they're trying to keep that a secret. Silencing our faith because we don't want anybody to know that we're from dysfunction. There's a lot of pain in our life, a lot of heartache, a lot of issues. Everything's not like a Hallmark card. Everything's not like the Walton family. Or one of those 50 sitcoms with the perfect family. No, it's a lot grittier. It's a lot more painful. Children of God have pit experiences, regardless of what some TV preachers might say. Here's the last point. The last point that we're not going to skip over quickly, but this is the moment, right here. Joseph's pit served a purpose. It matured his faith. An arrogant young man told his brothers, "You're going to bow down and worship me." It took 18 years of injustice and the pain. One day he interpreted a dream. There was a great famine coming. The Lord had blessed Joseph. He had risen from prison to the second person in charge, and the one who's in charge of Egypt's response to a coming famine. He's in charge of the storehouse of food. One day, his brothers, who had sold him into slavery, appeared before him. It's been 20 years. He's no longer a young kid anymore. He's in the appearance of an Egyptian authority. He's got nice clothes. He's got rings. He has the makeup of an Egyptian. He looks Egyptian. They have no idea who he is, but he knows who they are. What a great moment of drama. He had the power and the ability to get revenge. He has the power to embarrass them, but he doesn't. He plays with them a little bit. See, they didn't bring Benjamin, a brother that's younger than he is. And so he sets it up where all of them there together. And there's a great moment in Scripture. He revealed himself to them. And there's a scene in the Bible. They are embracing one another. And he says something to me that is powerful. "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." He learned that. He couldn't have said that 20 years earlier, but he can say it now. "What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Look at me. I'm here now in a position where I can save you and save my father and protect the covenant." 18 years had taught him patience. 18 years and the pit of betrayal had taught him humility. It had taught him how to pray. It had taught him how to forgive those who abuse you. It had taught him how to minister to those who continue to abuse you. Wow. Remember, we said that God had anointed Joseph. He had chosen the destiny for him. He would have to be in the pit of betrayal, but God would be with him. It's a great story in Scripture. But don't miss the point. Joseph came from a messed up family. Tony Evans tells a story about being in a crowded elevator going up 60 stories. We don't have any 60-story buildings here, but I've never even been in an elevator that goes up 60 stories, I don't believe. But he talks about it going up 60 stories, and they were about halfway up. They had picked up people on the way up, and the elevator is crowded. And all of a sudden, the lights blinked, the cart bounced, and panic ensued inside of the elevator. And people started panicking and having a problem. Tony Evans says, "It's not often I'm this cool, but I didn't panic. I just reached over there in that little box that they had down at the bottom, opened the door, and picked up the phone and said, 'Look, we're on floor or halfway between floors 46 and 47. Can you send somebody? There's a lot of crazy people in this box with me.'" Good thing Tony was in the elevator. And on that particular day, he was the voice of reason to minister to a group of people that were all into themselves. That's the way it is sometimes when you're in certain group settings. It may have been your family. Everybody's about themselves. They're dysfunctional. And when crisis happens, it's everybody for themselves. But because you are God's man or God's woman in the box with them, you know who to call. You know who to function. Rising from the pit of betrayal. A lot of people have difficulty with this, and I understand why. Because things in the Bible operate different than the things in the world. But you can actually say, Joseph can say, "Thank God you placed me in this mess up situation. It made me who I am today."